Kale and Company, weekday mornings, 6 till 10.
The big story this morning, of course, Philadelphia police still looking for a suspect, but we do have new details on the shooting and killing of a 77-year-old Uber driver who was picking up a 22-year-old man. Police say that shooting happened outside the Biblos restaurant and Hookah Lounge in the 100 block of 18th Street. Happened 2 o'clock in the morning, early Wednesday morning. I know you guys have been talking about this a lot, and the update is that the SUV the victims were in crashed around the corner on Chestnut Street right near the shooting. Police say that all started as the 22-year-old was leaving the Hookah Lounge, and now they're tracking all the surveillance video, releasing some new images, by the way, using this as part of the police investigation. It shows the 22-year-old who, by the way, this morning, in critical condition. I mean, a lot of people, as we talk about the 77-year-old Uber driver, but this 22-year-old who was seen hugging people goodbye in front of a black SUV, two suspects run toward him just as he's getting into the back seat of this SUV driven by the 77-year-old Uber driver. And so that 22-year-old, by the way, in critical condition, like I say, police say the Jeep Grand Cherokee pulls right up behind them. Two guys get out, just open fire. And at least one of the guys from the Jeep fired four shots, according to police, as we get these details. They believe that a bullet went through the headrest and struck the Uber driver, who has now been identified by his family as Olatunji Balaji.
Wow.
So Mr. Balaji's family identifying him, 77 years old, hardworking man, obviously, and loved being an Uber driver.
And this is on Chestnut Street.
Oh, yeah.
And that's a relatively nice section of town, I'm assuming, at that point, right?
Yeah, and that's just it. If you're an Uber driver, you get to choose where you pick people up, whether it's the airport, other locations, because you feel certain locations might be you're safer,
mm-hmm.
especially if you're 77 years young,
right?
And, you know, your family says, we're worried about you. He says, don't worry. Mm-hmm. I'm going to posh Chestnut Street.
That's right. You can decline. If you're an Uber driver and you get the notice for a potential pickup in Kensington, you can tap the decline button.
Yeah.
Which I would encourage at 77.
And so that's the problem right now, that there is a chilling effect because the Uber, the Lyft drivers, the Uber drivers, to your point, they're worried about this, their safety, their security.
Yeah. It's awful.
So anybody, the police putting out the word, like I say, the getaway car looks like it may have had Massachusetts tags, but they're not positive on that one. And the suspect's car was last seen on Sansom Street. The famous tip line here in Philadelphia, 215-686-TIPS. Of course, our Crime Stoppers, local guys, great. A lot of them, most of them retired cops who run that. We know them well. But an anonymous tip, and I tell you, those cash rewards that they give out on this, usually it's $5,000. They meet you on a street corner. They give you $5,000 or whatever that reward is in cash in a brown paper bag.
Oh, I love carrying the bag, Dawn.
Right?
Nothing like getting a nice bag of cash.
Just as long as it's not at 2 a.m. Yeah, I hope they don't give the $5,000 cash at 2 a.m. because nothing good happens at 2 a.m. anywhere in Philadelphia or any other city for that matter.
That's correct.
Amen. By the way, Governor Josh Shapiro plans on hosting a lunch for the firefighters who came to the rescue, put out the arson fire at the governor's mansion, of course, on the first night of Passover. And we're learning more about the suspected arsonist who allegedly tried to kill our Pennsylvania governor, Shapiro, and firebombed his official residence because of what this guy wants to do, because of what he claims Governor Shapiro wants to do to the, quote, Palestinian people. So we have the newly revealed information, the details, because of the search warrant. So as from state police, Pennsylvania State Police, so as they go through the process, and they're denying bail, obviously, for the suspect, Cody Ballmer, but every time they go to court, we get new reveals, new information.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the latest one. So it was targeted, and it does have to do with politics, his job. Was it because he's Jewish? Was it because it was the first night of Passover? And is that part of the motivation?
Yeah, BLM activist, also was pro-Palestinian. So just amazing that the mostly peaceful left seems to be always going after politicians, whether they're Democrat or Republican, whether they're governors, presidents, Supreme Court justices. Think about this, right? Steve Scalise, Brett Kavanaugh, Trump twice, now Josh Shapiro. Doesn't seem to happen from the Republican side of the aisle. Just saying.
Yeah.
By the way, when will a district court judge lower the bail for this guy and let him out?
Yeah.
On like $5,000 bond.
Right. We're going to reduce it by 90%.
We're seeing that a lot. A judge will jump in and say, oh, you know what? That bail's way too high. He's got to be able to go out and visit his family and get those glasses back on because he's just a good guy. He's a family man.
Yeah. He's a family man with a beard.
Well, I think that you bring up a good question, Tony. First of all, on this one, they've denied bail, but I know that, Attorney General Pam Bondi, she has come out. She saw reviewed all the evidence and all the pictures. She spoke out strongly and said there's no question that this was a case of, trying to murder the governor. So
I was being sarcastic and facetious because in any kind of case right now, if somebody like the kid, the Carmelo Anthony kid, judge comes in and says, no, you can't keep him in jail with a bail. Let's let him out and get that $500,000 money that the go buy a SUV and go live in a $900,000 home in the meantime. Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah. Amen. Yeah. But I knew you were being facetious, but the question is, will he face federal charges? Are there any federal kind
should.
Of, you know,
should, yeah.
as well as statewide? So all of that we continue to follow. Thank God, Governor Shapiro, a First Lady of Pennsylvania, Lori, the four children in the home. And he had just hosted a Passover, like I say, first night dinner with dozens of people there.
Mm-hmm.
So they were just leaving or had just left. But thank God everybody is safe. I know we'll have the audio of the governor speaking out about that. And police in Cheltenham Township looking for whoever is responsible for abandoning these six dogs in cages in a shopping center. So this all went down on Tuesday, 2400 block of Shoppers Lane. They found the dogs in two very small cramped cages, five little puppies together in one. And they're the dad puppy in the other. So we don't know where the mom puppy, the mother of the pups, is. But Montgomery County SPCA and Conshohocken, they're speaking out about this. The dogs are all being treated, where the puppies especially were malnourished.
Wow.
And they believe abused.
The suspect should be stuffed in a small cage and abused.
Well, they're all over it. Police, it's a, police, obviously, investigation. But I swear anytime, we talk about this all the time, with all the mayhem and the murder and the shootings and all of that, you do something to a dog or a cat,
mm-hmm.
You get the most public support.
Of course. Right? Dogs are better than humans.
Oh.
Except for my dog. He's the dog from hell.
I used to have this, when Larry and I first got married, I had this little poodle, my only little dog.
Yeah.
And she hated men.
Yeah.
And she literally would do little Tootsie Rolls in his shoes.
And now she's a co-host on The View.
Ow!
Sorry.
The hip dog, right?
Yeah, yes.
First and last. Phils, what's going on with our Philadelphia Phillies?
Same for- man, what's Wait, what? Going on? Oh. It's an outrage.
Tony
It's time to have a march on the San Francisco Giants have become this juggernaut. They own the Phillies.
I know.
And by the way, can anybody play the outfield?
No.
Or can anybody? What is going on with the Phillies?
Is Aaron Nola washed up? 6-1-0. No, sorry, different lifetime.
So, 11-4, not pretty. Boys and I were watching it last night a little bit. It was like, oh, gosh.
Mm-hmm.
But Giants and Phils were today 4:05, and then Marlins and Phils tomorrow 6:45, if you're looking at that schedule. And if you're looking at the forecast, it is Holy Thursday, and so it's 41 degrees. It's way warmer in Italy. I'm just saying.
Look, I think I'm willing to relocate to any place that's warm.
Gosh.
Italy, Florida, Phoenix, name it.
Northern Italy is warm.
By the way, we're going up to 90 today here in Southwest Florida. Oh. A little too hot for me, but it's still a dry heat. It's not humid yet, but it will be very soon.
It's a dry heat.
So 63 degrees and sunny for today. So we are warming up, even though it's freezing there right now. Tomorrow, 70 degrees. The sun comes out. Saturday, 80 degrees, mostly cloudy, but 80.
Yes.
And then Easter Sunday, 74 degrees, partly sunny, looking beautiful.
Love it. Love it.
Nice. Now, did you go out and get your Easter bonnet yet?
Easter bonnet?
No.
My Easter hat. I don't usually wear an Easter hat. I don't. Do you and Miss Robin
people
do
get
the whole...
dolled up for Easter?
I do get dolled
Easter
up.
Easter used to be one of those really, I mean, families. You go to church, whatever you're doing.
Yeah.
People get dolled up for Easter.
Do the Easter brunch.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
I love it.
Love a good mimosa or a Bloody Mary after a little church service around noon.
Nice.
Sit outside.
And don't forget
patio.
To get the hams now. The hams and the eggs. By the way, now there's an outrage because people are now dyeing marshmallows instead of eggs. Because, yes, believe it or not, right before Easter, there's an egg shortage because everybody's buying eggs right now.
Shocking.
Because they want to dye them. They want the kids to dye them.
Did you see yesterday that Kathy Hochul said she can't afford eggs?
Please.
She did?
She did.
Please.
Yeah. Yeah, she did.
Break. I know we'll have a lot of
She can afford Botox, though, at least. She's getting the Botox is still coming in.
That's right,
baby. You know, by the 55-gallon drum load for Kathy Hochul.
Well, she buys in bulk, Tone.
Well, don't politicians get to write that stuff off?
I would think so.
Remember Biden got to write off the hair plugs way back in the day? It was a story, so I don't
know. That's right.
Write off, Kathy.
There you go.
By
the way, they're all dying now. You see Joe the other night? His hair plugs look like they're all falling apart, falling out now. It happens when you get old, I guess.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Yeesh. Piazza Auto Group sponsors us this morning. Lease a new 2025 Honda Civic or HRV starting at just $249 a month for 36 months. Piazza Honda. You can visit our friends at Piazza Honda of Philadelphia, Langhorne, Pottstown, Reading, or Springfield for all the deets online, piazzahonda.com. This is Kale & Company News Live.
All right, Dawn, thank you very much. 6:17 Thursday morning. Let's get to one last big take of the week.
The Big Take on Kale & Company.
All right, the big take, left and wrong, right and correct. Common sense, karma, denial, double down, science and defiance, domestic and abroad. It was all on full display Wednesday as the Democrat Party shows you how far they've gone off of the reservation, while the Trump administration, Republicans, and anybody right of center continues to operate in a basic functional universe based on reality. No story bigger in the United States of America right now, in my opinion, than the levels to which Democrats will go to label a MS-13 gang member, deemed so by not one but two judges, as a Maryland family man, and their attempts to bring him back from the Hell on Earth prison in El Salvador. Leading the charge on stupidity is Maryland Democratic Senator Chris Van Hollen, who traveled all the way to El Salvador to see and speak to Kilmer Abrego Garcia, only to be rejected and denied his request. I guess he wasn't paying attention when Bukele visited Trump at the White House this week. Here was the disgraceful Maryland senator yesterday. Listen and watch.
Well, I'm asking President Bukele to... Okay. I'm asking President Bukele, under his authority as president of El Salvador, to do the right thing and allow Mr. Abrego Garcia to walk out of a prison, a man who's charged with no crime, convicted of no crime, and who was illegally abducted from the United States.
The Democrat Party and officials like him have exerted more energy on bringing an MS-13 gang member back to America in the last 4 days than they did the last 4 years in trying to bring U.S. veteran and American Paul Whelan home from Russia. Let that marinate over your brain for a few moments. I wonder if Van Hollen feels any remorse after perhaps hearing a mother who lost a child at the hands of an illegal alien gang member. Here was Patty Morin, mother of now deceased Rachel Morin, who was killed thanks to Democrats and their open border policies. Listen and watch this.
Why are we not protecting the American citizens? It's just common sense. Why are we not protecting our children? And to have a senator from Maryland who didn't even acknowledge or barely acknowledge my daughter and the brutal death that she endured, leaving her 5 children without a mother and now a grandbaby without a grandmother, so that he can use my taxpayer money to fly to El Salvador to bring back someone that's not even an American citizen. Why does that person have more right than I do, or my daughter, or my grandchildren? I don't understand this. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. And
why are Democrats not protecting American citizens? Sadly, it's simple, Ms. Morin. They need new voters, even if it means at the expense of your kids' livelihood. It's disgusting. I agree. Let's pivot to common sense. There are two genders on this planet, not 12. And even the United Kingdom, who continues to strip away the rights of their citizens with free speech, are smart enough to realize this, as a major ruling came down yesterday with the United Kingdom Supreme Court ruling that the law states that women are defined as women as people born biologically female, not what you identify as. This is a major victory for biology and common sense. I think it should be universally adopted and agreed upon, as it was forever, until left-wing loons tried telling us that their genders can change on a seasonal basis. No, they don't. It's called a mental health epidemic. And if gender surgeries weren't profitable, even the medical and healthcare industries would unanimously say so. But they like money. And politicians, they like division. Here are a few jubilant women yesterday in the United Kingdom celebrating in England. Listen and watch this.
We were in a really difficult place in Scotland then. We thought we were going to see rights for women rolled back. And today, the judges have said what we always believed to be the case, that women are protected by their biological sex, that sex is real, and that women can now feel safe that services and spaces designated for women are for women. And we are enormously grateful to the Supreme Court for this ruling.
It took the Supreme Court to validate what most of us know by the time we are 5 years old. And it took the United Kingdom, of all places, to drop the gavel. Meanwhile, in America, the Trump administration has had to resort to suing the state of Maine and their Department of Education over the refusal to comply with Title IX and not allowing transgender men to participate in female sports. And the reality is this, it can be done the easy way or the hard way. Yesterday on the Cut Sheet, we gave you Pam Bondi. Today, we give you Riley Gaines and Linda McMahon. Here was Riley Gaines yesterday. Listen and watch.
I'm sure you guys saw the clips and the visuals that surfaced following President Trump's executive order signing of this EO barring men from participating in women's sports within any educational program that receives federal funding. And it was the most amazing thing to be there. And you have all of these young girls. I'm talking 5, 6, 7, 8 years old. They've got their jerseys on, their sports uniforms, their big bows in their hair that they wear on the soccer field. That visual means more to me than I could possibly put into words, and that is what is at stake here. That is who Governor Mills is fighting, not Donald Trump. It's those little girls, and I believe that's sick.
Governor Mills just got squashed. Good for Riley Gaines. Here's Secretary of Education Linda McMahon following up on the most absurd hill that Democrats are willing to die on. She joined Martha McCallum yesterday on Fox News. Listen and watch this.
This is the latest from Governor Janet Mills in Maine, reaction to this lawsuit, and then we want to get your thoughts on it. Watch.
Because there are maybe at most two transgender athletes competing in Maine schools right now, they decided to shut off funding for our school nutrition program.
All right. And she also said this matter has never been about the protection of women and girls. She said it's a state rights defending the rule of law against the federal government. Your reaction to what she now says about this lawsuit, Secretary?
Well, thank you, Martha. First of all, for her just to say that there are probably two individuals involved in this. Mm. I mean, my goodness. I listened to young women this morning who were part of the press conference with Attorney General Bondi and myself, who were saying, look, that each of those transgender males would take away a position of a younger girl coming along. It affects them in their scholarships, their positions, et cetera. So it's not just a one-off event. And one is too many. And if one girl gets hurt by a male that's playing in their sports, that's one too many. We can't have that. So I definitely disagree with the governor that this is a states' rights issue. This is Title IX. The Title IX is a federal law. They're in violation of Federal IX. And if they're receiving federal funds, then we have the opportunity to withhold those funds.
Good for Linda McMahon. It's actually refusing to admit that biology is real. And imagine willing to cough up federal funding for the greater group over, quote, two individuals. Finally, we touch on karma. Remember way back when New York Attorney General Letitia James weaponized her state's office against Donald Trump for a victimless crime of inflating assets? Remember how the banks who did business with Trump said they loved working with him, labeling him a whale of a client, loans repaid in full? Well, it appears Letitia James may have done so herself, the same thing personally, in pursuit of a better mortgage. James reportedly lied on a mortgage application in Virginia that her primary residence was in Virginia, and then did the same when she claimed on a Brooklyn mortgage application that she was married to her father. And upon being called out for this, with charges likely to happen at both the state level and federal level, she claims now she is being bullied. See, this is the playbook of the angry, bitter left. Claim you are the one under attack after operating with a vendetta, and then claim victimhood based on identity politics when the rabbit has the gun. And who has the gun now? The Trump administration. The one that is doing exactly what they campaigned on. And the media is hell-bent on crisis after crisis and manufacturing media-driven chaos, from egg prices to stock market crashes to wrongful deportations. But, as usual, the data shows Americans are actually happy. Here is CNN data guru Harry Enten with the facts. Listen and watch.
I mean, this is the big question, right? I hear all these stories, all these articles, all the Trump voters, they regret what they did back in 2024. I'm here to tell you, very few of them regret what they did back in 2024. What are we talking about? Trump voters looking back at 2024, we got a new poll out. The poll was conducted this month. What percentage would change their vote to a different candidate? We're talking just 2%, just 2%. That's not even a wide spot on the road. And then there's this additional 1% who say they would rather not vote. We're talking overall under 5% might or would have changed their vote, Donald Trump voters back in 2024. And then you ask, okay, the same question to Kamala Harris voters, and it turns out the numbers are rather similar. So if there was a repeat, if folks got to be able to redo their vote that they had back in 2024, would the result be any different? I doubt it would be. I doubt it would be, or it would still be extremely close. The bottom line is, for all this talk of Trump voters regretting their vote, in the numbers, it really just doesn't show.
The takeaway? What legacy media and left-wingers claim is not the reality of the American people. The left is wrong, the right is right, and those are just the facts. And that's the big take.
The Big Take on Kale and Company.
All right, if you want to jump in, 855-839-1210, we will take your calls, your tweets on social media, at 1210WPHT, and of course, let it rip in the YouTube chat, youtube.com/at1210WPHT. Hit the like and subscribe buttons while you are there. We'll come back, get Dawn and Tony's thoughts on a wide-ranging subject matter, including Letitia James, the Democrat senator from Maryland, what's going on in Maine, what happened in the UK, and it's all still ahead as we get it going here on a Thursday morning. Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
This is the Kale and Company podcast from Talk Radio 1210 WPHT and on the free Odyssey app.
She wants her daughter's memory to be, you know, celebrated, her life to be celebrated, but also I think she feels that people, the media does not want to focus on, nor do Maryland Democrats or any Democrats even want to really acknowledge her daughter. I mean, you imagine that. It's just, it's bizarre. The question I have for the Maryland officials, you know, as they say, oh, many more senators. Well, who pays for that? Because I guarantee you, if they had to pay out of pocket to fly commercial or whatever, they wouldn't go.
Hell no.
So to go for,
of course not.
To, how much does that cost on the taxpayer's dime? That's my question.
Mm-hmm. It's a great point. And Tony, you saw it yesterday. You saw her on that podium talking and asking, you know, why are American politicians, and let's call it what it is, Democrat politicians, why are they not protecting American citizens yet going to bat for a gang member confirmed by two judges? And at the end there of that clip, you saw Caroline Leavitt, I mean, she had to go up there and console the mom. I can't imagine what that feeling's like.
But to the point of the Miss Moran and Mrs. Moran going up live, you realize that CNN and MSNBC did not cover that live. They went to talking heads. And then Rachel Maddow, of course, had this Senator Van Hollen on last night, continue to spout his nonsense. Everybody knew when he went to El Salvador that he was not going to see the president. He was not going to go to the thing. And then he has this news conference outside afterwards, having to admit that they wouldn't even let him in near the, even get a tour of the prison. So how do you just go to another country? By the way, and Rachel Morin is in the same, Rachel Morin's family is in the same area where Van Hollen is their U.S. senator. Yep. He's a senator from the same area. And he goes to El Salvador without any kind of documentation, just telling everybody, hey, I'm going to fly in this morning from Newark Airport, and they're going to sit down and talk to me. It was an embarrassment. And the fact that Rachel Maddow puts this clown on at night, and that I mentioned MSNBC and CNN completely ignore her live opinion, because they knew. To them, it's like, it's about, they're trying to go after Trump's biggest strength, which is immigration and the border.
Yep.
And they think that if they can get people to believe their nonsense, that one person is now more important than the lives of Americans who have been snuffed out, not just by criminal illegal aliens, but by anybody. These people need to be held accountable. This is the hill they're dying on now. Let's try to go after Trump with the strongest thing he has going for him, what everybody voted for. They want to ignore the fact that the border has been shut down when they said it couldn't be shut down without legislation. And now they're trying to make this about one guy from, this guy wants to be president. This guy couldn't be president of the Prince George's County Little League. That's what an idiot this guy. And then you got Cory Booker. Now Cory Booker and other senators want to go to El Salvador.
Yep.
And think that they're going to make any progress or have any effect. The biggest thing about this, Nick, is that the defense minister from El Salvador was in Washington, D.C. yesterday while Van Hollen goes all the way down to El Salvador. So they weren't even paying attention to him in Washington, let alone in El Salvador.
For a photo op.
For a photo op. That's exactly what this is.
Exactly.
Yes.
What I also don't get is, if you're a viewer of only, let's say, Rachel Maddow or CNN, all you hear about, and you hear from the wife of this man, say he's not a gang member, he's a hardworking guy, the lawyers on all of those shows saying, no, he checked in with ICE yearly with the Department of Homeland Security, he had a work permit, he joined a union, he was employed full-time, he was a sheet metal apprentice. So that's their claim, that this guy's not in any way criminal, so on and so forth. But then if you listen to the officials with the official court records, what has been filed, not what people claim, but what's filed in court, they have all this evidence where they say, no, this guy is a gang member. And so it's like two different worlds. The media, the so-called mainstream media, will not report what it has been put out in the courts.
Yep.
And so,
with each passing hour, you're right, Dawn, with each passing hour since that photo op debacle yesterday in El Salvador, more and more evidence and documentation is coming out about this guy's history, this guy's past.
Yep.
This guy, apparently by Joe Biden, he had charges dropped against this guy for human trafficking charges.
Yeah,
there was court
Star
documentation. Remember yesterday morning, Nick, during the show, I came in and I gave you the update, and then everybody jumped all over it. Miss Robin went online and found out that this guy's wife had charges against him for domestic abuse. And so now, people who are real journalists who are looking into this case are not just taking, this guy's story lock, stock, and barrel. They're looking into this, and we're seeing Robbie Starbuck, one of the guys out there who does a great job on fact-based research, is nailing this. But I guarantee you, by tomorrow, this whole thing will die down, because this guy will be proven to be another criminal who, by the way, is not an American citizen. He was sent back home to El Salvador, where he came from.
And to your point with Robbie Starbuck, the Tennessee Star, which is kind of like the New York Post or the Washington Times compared to the Washington Post or the New York Times. It's the Fox News of newspapers in Tennessee. They compete against the Tennessean, which is owned by the USA Today. They did some amazing investigative research, and some of those details that you were alluding to, Tony, the illegal immigrant the Democrats are trying to free from El Salvador. In 2022, in Tennessee, he was stopped driving without a license by the Tennessee Highway Patrol. They suspected him of trafficking the seven people inside of his vehicle. THP then learned he was on a terrorist watch list, so they called the Biden FBI, but Biden's FBI told THP to release him. Kilmar Abrego Garcia was then released due to the Biden FBI order, and the THP concerns about trafficking were ignored by the government. I mean, this guy is about as bad as it gets, and yet you have Maryland senators and Democrats fighting tooth and nail for, quote, one guy who was accidentally shipped off to hell's prison. Dude, I mean, this is, I don't know how any of these moms or parents deal with it. How do you think Lake and Riley's parents feel seeing one half of the American political spectrum fighting for Kilmar Abrego Garcia? I wouldn't want this guy in my neighborhood, much less around my daughters or my family. And they're going to bat for this guy. And then getting and then getting rejected by the El Salvadorian government for a photo op. I love it. 855-839-1210.
You're absolutely right. I mean, and the thing about your big take was dead on. And the thing about it is that everything you said in the big take is not a political statement. Everything you said was fact-based, no doubt about it. This is what really happened. And so you can spin it. A lot of people, as I mentioned, Rachel Maddow has this senator on last night, when their own network refused to show his mother. And by the way, this clown Van Hollen, he also voted against the Lake and Riley Act.
Yep.
And there's actual tape of him now back in 2017 saying that we should go after MS-13 people. So the problem with these politicians and these dirtbags who are, you know, working for news outlets that are just basically scumbags, there's tape to show these people are hypocrites.
Mm-hmm.
This Van Hollen guy thinks he's going to be president, and I think the egg on his face is going to be more, is going to be bigger than all the eggs combined on Easter Sunday when kids are scampering around looking for the damn Easter eggs.
Yep.
And by the way, are you going to put out Easter eggs for the kids this year? I know your kids are a little older now.
Well, they won't be back from Hawaii until Tuesday night, so I'm hoping they just totally forget about Easter and let me off the hook.
Wait, they're in Hawaii, and you're sitting here in Philadelphia?
I'm trying to get into my home. I'm trying to get to the point where I need to be financially for our home this July. Took one for the family here for the greater good.
That's a good job out of you, man.
Some would say not so much, but, you know.
He also gets a weekend of golf.
Thank you, Dawn.
I mean.
See, there's always the ulterior motive. The in-laws.
You and Dom going out now, so you and Dom are going to play this weekend?
We're playing Friday. We're playing tomorrow.
Nice.
Yeah, with the listener. Yeah.
It'll be beautiful, beautiful day for it.
Now, will you be able to play golf between noon and 3 p.m.? When I was a kid growing up in Catholic school, I remember we weren't allowed to turn the TVs on Good Friday because, you know, between noon and, right, Dawn, it's like an old Catholic school thing.
That's right.
Noon and 3, turn the radios off. You couldn't listen to radio or TV. It's Good Friday.
Focus on what matters. Speaking of TV and radio, just to wrap this up, this is amazing. You talk about bias by omission a lot, Dawn. I've got the stats here in the story. ABC, NBC, and CBS have not mentioned Rachel Martin even once. 0 seconds spent on her or her convicted rapist murderer, yet they have spent segment after segment discussing Kilmar Abrego Garcia. 0 seconds on that story from that angle, 64 total minutes on the other side of the story. They make it act as if this story doesn't exist from the narrative and the slant, which is not a narrative or a slant. It's just the facts of the case, and they refuse to deliver them to the American public. You talk about it all the time with bias by omission. This should be a case study on this one if you're teaching journalism 101.
Yeah, and just imagine, I can't imagine what the family of Rachel Martin or any of those victims have been through. But I think that's a piece of this. Imagine how you would feel as a Maryland resident when all over, splattered all over the news for all of this time is all this focus on this quote unquote Maryland father, and all these resources and all this money. And so she just, I think she feels just at the very least disrespected.
Yep.
That her own governor, her, the officials, the same senator who travels all the way over there on the taxpayer's dime, which she did bring up yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
But imagine, I mean, you can't imagine the insult, you know, and adding the insult to injury.
I agree. It's awful. 855-839-1210. Coming up next, we'll wrap up the first hour. We have a Carmelo Anthony Texas update. As if the bail reduction was not enough, this guy, an admitted killer,
living a better life right now than retired NBA star Carmelo Anthony, spelled differently. We'll get to that as we wrap up the hour next. Nick, Dawn, and Tony on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
It's Kale and Company on demand from Talk Radio 1210 WPHT and the free Odyssey app.
They're living in a house that's almost $1 million. They've got a brand new SUV that's apparently, reportedly, I should say, valued at $150,000, all from this GoFundMe. This guy's living like an NBA baller luxury life as an admitted killer. I've never said, you talk about arrogance. And this is going to be this will be what the left tries to rally around again. And I don't think it's going to work. Your thoughts?
Well, the bottom line is now they're saying, well, you know, the GoFundMe, it wasn't GoFundMe, it was GoSendGo or whatever this other thing is, because GoFundMe is not allowed. Remember, they weren't allowed to do contributions to a lot of people who were in trouble with the law. Mm-hmm. But this GoSendGo outfit allowed over $500,000. I mean, what people are saying, how many $5 donations were sent to amass $500,000+ in contributions to a kid who was admitted that he killed a kid, another kid, whether or not it was self-defense, whatever the case may be. He was in jail. A judge lowers the bail. He gets out on bail and then goes into an $800,000 home with an allegedly brand new $500,000 monster SUV. And their people are claiming that this is to protect the family. Protect the family from what?
Yeah, I know. You know,
the legal fees and everything else. This guy can get defense attorneys for free. So again, listen, he can do what he wants, but the bottom line is this is another crazy story. There isn't one story that you've seen in the last 2 weeks, including the astronauts, N-O-T-S, those broads, they're still, those idiots are still pretending that they've saved the world by going up on an amusement park ride and then coming back down. I want to hear Dawn's take on that, too, on the astronauts, N-O-T-S.
Dawn, how about Gail King? She goes up for an 11-minute space ride, and she thinks she's uniting America. Oh, no. We got to get Dawn's mic on. What are we doing in there, Jimmy? Was it your first day?
Oh, my God. I prepared for this with my yoga pants on. I meditated. I've saved the world, the first woman in yoga pants.
Katy Perry and Gail King.
Like, it's just, they really embarrassed themselves. And I think they're broadly, pun intended, even by, you know, we'll wait to see if SNL makes fun of them.
Oh, they better. But, right? It's a gold mine of comedy.
Oh,
they have to. If they don't, cancel that show. Pull the plug. I'll make sure Lorne Michael does it himself.
The best part is one of the women was a Vietnam scientist, and then she comes out and boasts afterwards that she was performing important research on this mission. Important research. They were up there. So it was total 11 minutes from liftoff to back down in the dust included the desert. By the way, you notice there were no ambulances around in case something went wrong? It was just a bunch of people standing around. And so this astronaut woman, whatever her name is, she came from Vietnam, and she's a biophysicist. Yep. And then she actually claims that her family and her background allowed her to go up there and perform important research during this mission, where they were up there for literally 2 minutes. What mission could they, other than floating around and scissoring for a couple of seconds, what could they get done in 2 minutes floating around 62 miles above the Earth?
Floating around and scissoring. That's a great way to put it. 855-839-1210. News
What's
coming up.
Space scissoring. I think we had our first case of space scissoring.
The study was on it. Maybe the mental health impact of rich women in yoga pants in space. You know, what was the study?
They should do a study on the mental health impact of watching CBS Mornings. That's what I would be spending our money on. All right, we'll come back. Dawn's got the news. The cut sheet's about 45 minutes away. And then we've got a couple of stories with really that I think illustrate how delusional and detached Hollywood is, from Jimmy Kimmel to Molly Ringwald to the director of Home Alone, all with varying degrees of Trump derangement syndrome. We'll give you those details coming up after the news, which is next. Nick, Dawn, and Tony on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
Oh, but first, let me tell you, it's my fault, Jimmy. I told you I was going to do Piazza, and I totally forgot. I had a Biden moment. So here's the deal. We're talking about Piazza today, and of course, we are talking, as we have been for the last couple of weeks, about the Acura dealerships, specifically the Acura MDX, the all-new 2025. It is Acura's latest addition to their precision-crafted lineup. This premium compact SUV is a breakthrough in design, performance, and innovation. With a turbocharged engine, available all-wheel drive system, and cutting-edge technology, the Acura ADX is engineered for those who demand more, but still an affordable price. How about this? Best of all, available now at Piazza Acura of Ardmore, Reading, and Westchester with leases as low as $389 per month. An Acura SUV, gorgeous, fully loaded, $389 per month. Check it out today, PiazzaAcura.com.
Start your day with Kale and Company, weekday mornings 6 till 10 on Talk Radio 1210, WPHT, and the free Odyssey app.